Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to PGN, Prophetic Grace Network. We are live. This is PGN Online Live Church. Today we are talking about the 666 Antichrist prophecy. You are listening to Secrets Revealed. Understand the book of Revelation from start to finish. God has created a prophetic book, a book full of the prophecies that tell us what has come and what is to come during and at the end of this age. And those prophecies, those reports, those facts about your future, facts about my future are in the book of Revelation. In January of 2023, we will be looking at each statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation. We'll start on the first Tuesday and Sunday, the first Tuesday and Sunday of January, ending with the last Tuesday and Sunday of December. We will look at each statement of prophecy in detail. I'm asking you now to consider making time on your calendar, in your schedule, making time to learn about the Word of God, specifically the book of Revelation. So what will we be doing on this program live on PGN, Prophetic Grace Network, in January of 2023? Put it on your calendars now. We'll be talking about every Tuesday and every Saturday on PGN, Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation. We'll be talking about the Seven Seals Prophecy. Are you interested in knowing, well, what's the red horse? What's the green horse? What's the white horse? What's the pale horse? Beyonce has a new album. Maybe you've heard about it. She's sitting on a horse. There are different versions of the cover, and people are asking, is she somehow connected to the Illuminati or the Seven Seals prophecy? So we will not be focusing on Beyonce, but I will address that question. And we will look at the Seven Seals prophecy every Tuesday and every Saturday. The Seven Seals Prophecy in January 2023. In February, we'll be talking about the Seven Trumpets Prophecy. Do you want to know what God has to say about World War III, also known as the Sixth Trumpet War? The Seventh Trumpet War is the Battle of Armageddon, the war to end all wars, but there's a war in our future which is described in great detail in the book of Revelation. That is noted in the Seven Trumpets Prophecy every Tuesday and every Sunday on this program live on PGN, Prophetic Grace Network. We'll be talking about the Seven Trumpets Prophecy. Please put that on your calendar now. Maybe you can join us only on Sundays, or maybe only on Tuesdays, or maybe you say, neither of those days is great for me, but I will listen on Friday mornings from the archives. Whatever you have to do, friend, do whatever it takes to make time to learn what God has communicated for you and for me about our future, what is coming up, which will very shortly be in our present, these prophecies in the book of Revelation. Some of them are already coming to pass. We'll be talking about that also. In March of 2023, we'll be talking about the 1260 days prophecy every Sunday and every Tuesday. So what about the Great Tribulation and what it means for Israel? And what about that war in heaven? Did you know there's going to be a war in heaven? And how is it that Israel has become a perpetual target, a perpetual target for annihilation, and Jerusalem a perpetual target for war. Well, that and more is discussed and explained in the 1,260 days prophecy. That's in March of 2023. Today, we're talking about the 666 Antichrist prophecy. We will go back to it because we're doing, beginning with chapter 5, verse 1 in 2020 through, we're studying verse by verse every statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation, going from start to finish in 2023. In April, we will focus on the 666 Antichrist prophecy. In May, we'll talk about the 144,000 first fruits prophecy. Who are the 144,000 that stand with Jesus Christ, whose foreheads are sealed on this present earth? Who are the 144,000? And are those in the Book of Life limited to 144,000 in number? I want to say now the answer is no, but how are we sure? I've heard some say only 144,000 will be saved. We're going to look at that. What does the Book of Revelation say about the 144,000 first fruits? We'll look at that prophecy in May of 2023. In June of 2023, we'll look at the marriage of the Lamb. We'll look at the resurrection, when Jesus separates the sheep from the goats, when he gathers the wheat. There's so much more I want to say, but today we're going to be focusing on the 666 Antichrist prophecy. But I want to ask you to consider and to go ahead and put on your calendar for June of 2023. We're going to be talking about the statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation where the earth reaped is noted, where the angels come and they put forth the words, they shout them out, and literally those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we will put on our incorruptible bodies at that appointed hour, on that appointed day. The earth will be reaped. Those who are dead in Christ will rise up. Those who are alive will change in the twinkling of an eye. I'm going to have to pause there. But in June of 2023, we are going to look at that earth reap prophecy. It is super exciting to see it in great detail. In June of next year, 2023, we'll be talking about the seven plagues prophecy. There are seven final plagues. Some translations of the Bible refer to them as the seven vials, some as the seven bowls. We'll be talking about these seven plagues noted in the book of Revelation. God's wrath is completely expressed. Seven angels bring seven plagues. We will examine and discuss the seven plagues prophecy in July of 2023. In August of 2023, and please, as one of my favorite teachers, Marilyn Hickey, likes to say, put your hand on your heart and promise you won't be mad at me. I'm going to ask you to do that literally or maybe in your mind. Friend, in August of 2023, we are going to look at, and I will be sharing about, the purple and scarlet prophecy. Now, I never want to be divisive. At the same time, in the book of Revelation, the purple and scarlet prophecy appears, and we will be talking about Rome. We will be talking about the role of the Catholic Church at the end. We will be talking about who is the false prophet, and is it the Pope that will exist at the time that the Antichrist is revealed to the world when he stands on the Temple Mount in the third temple that will be rebuilt as a result of a peace-sharing agreement, the confirmation of the covenant. I won't be sharing my opinions. I will be sharing what's written in the Word of God, in the purple and scarlet prophecy, and it will be up to each man and each woman to decide, to reason, to consider what God has shared about Rome, the harlot church, Mystery Babylon, those who wear the purple and scarlet, those whose power resides in the city with seven hills. That city is Rome. You can look at that on the internet right now. What's the city with the seven hills? That's Rome. All right. In September of 2023, we will talk about the marriage supper prophecy following the marriage of the Lamb. That's the resurrection. That's the rapture. Following that wonderful event will be the marriage supper. Now, what is that? What is that? We'll be talking about that in great detail in September of 2023. In fact, we talked about the marriage supper this year in July. I believe it was in July of 2022, just a few months ago. Every program on this show was about the marriage supper, the marriage supper prophecy in the book of Revelation. I encourage you, if you weren't with us, to go ahead to the archives available at blogtalkradio.com/liveprophetic. You can look in the archives all of PGN's programs, Felicia's programs, Prophet Randy Chandler's programs, Terrence and Tanisha's programs, Jeannie's programs, Lashoon's programs, Angela Joy's programs. They are wonderful for instruction, wonderful for encouragement, wonderful for revelation and prophecy. You can go back into the archives at any time. And so for this particular program, Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation from Start to Finish, in July, we talked about the marriage supper prophecy. Every program had something new, something different, and we really learned from the law of repetition. I've shared before that experts in learning and memory have conducted studies, and they found that in order to learn something, in other words, to have something go from short-term memory into long-term memory, and then for an individual to have the ability to successfully retrieve that information with understanding at will, on demand, it takes seven meaningful interactions with the information, with that knowledge. And so that is why I believe God put on my heart to focus on for an entire month a singular statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation, so that if you listen today on the 666 Antichrist prophecy, and then you listen again on Tuesday, a brand new program, but focusing on the same content, but different insights, different ways of communicating that information, additional examples, alternative examples, that's the second time. And then if you listen the following Sunday, a third time. So you get my point. By the time you get to number seven and you've successfully been engaged in, listened to, enjoyed our discussion, our time together about the 666 Antichrist prophecy, you know it. You have it. You have it. And when you need that information, you're able to retrieve it and make decisions informed by the Word of God, decisions informed by the book of Revelation, the pinnacle book in the Bible. The last book in the Bible is the book of Revelation. October, what are we doing next October? We'll be talking about the millennial reign prophecy, which we discussed in August of 2022. You can listen to the archive We have more than 10 shows focusing on the Millennial Reign Prophecy, 10 programs discussing what is the Millennial Reign, when is it going to happen, and what does it involve? What can we look forward to? Finally, in November and December of next year, we'll be talking about first the Great White Throne Judgment. Every disembodied spirit in hell, every person who has experienced death without the benefit of salvation. So every person makes the decision to be either Team Jesus or Team Satan. And a person who says, I refuse to make a decision, by default is put onto Team Satan, has been operating on Team Satan unknowingly. And so every person is either Team Jesus or Team Satan. Those who experience the first death being on Team Satan continue, have perfect continuity of life, and they dwell as a soul, their same mind, will, and emotions, as a spirit, their same spirit, in a physical location known as Hades. In contrast, every person who experienced the first death, who died Team Jesus, in other words, not a person who said, oh, yes, I believe Jesus was a man of God, not a person who said merely, oh, yes, I believe Jesus was a good person, but a person who said, I will follow Jesus, I will become a disciple, I will experience salvation. I want salvation, and I will follow what God has said is required in order for my sin debt to be paid. Jesus says, no man comes to the Father except by me. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so how do we get back to God in perfect right standing with God? That is through Jesus Christ. And every person who died Team Jesus is currently living perfect continuity of life. Same soul. In other words, that person has the same mind. Person has the same will. The person is experiencing emotions as a soul in heaven. And in the book of Revelation, John is shown souls in heaven multiple times. Why? Perfect continuity of life. Every human being has perfect continuity of life after dying, either in heaven or in Hades. Okay, so the Dead Judge prophecy, we'll be talking about that in November. We're going to find out, for every person who is disembodied in Hades, what ultimately is their fate? So it culminates, this age culminates with the Great White Throne Judgment, where the remainder of the dead, those who did not participate in the resurrection, those who did not participate in what we call the rapture, the resurrection, the marriage of the Lamb, those who did not join the royal race, those who did not transition from mortality to immortality in a physical body, they are restored to life for the purposes of judgment. And that is described in the Dead Judge prophecy, which we talked about. I believe it was in April of this year. We will be focusing on the Dead Judge prophecy all November. Please put it on your calendars now. And finally, in December, the month where we celebrate the birth of Christ. Now, whether Christ was born in December or not, I don't know. Historians debate that. I'm not sure that the specific date of his birth is so important. The most important thing is to know Jesus Christ, to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, to be in the light of that truth, right? Either we are in darkness or we are in light as a result of knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so in December, we will get to the end of the statements of prophecies. We'll talk about the new earth prophecy. Briefly, what is the new earth? That is a perfected version of this earth. The new earth is where God will move to once all of his enemies have been destroyed by Jesus Christ. So God the Father will move from heaven. It tells us in the New Earth prophecy, he relocates his abode. That's language from the New Earth prophecy. He relocates his abode from heaven to earth. Now, why does he do that? He does that because the earth has no evil, no enemies of God, and it is now perfected and so worthy of receiving not only Jesus Christ, who will be here with his second coming, but also the Father. The Father. And hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. What is it? Is one. The Godhead is a mystery. It was a secret, but we now know. God gave himself a human body so he could come, so that we may experience salvation. And that human form was Jesus Christ. So before, I'm going to pause there. I'm going off on a tangent. It's a good one, as Urban Baxter used to say in his teachings. Let me stay where we are. In December, friend, you want to hear about, well, what is it going to look like on this new earth? Who's going to be on the new earth? What will we be doing on the new earth? Will there be more than one nation on the new earth? And specifically, what does the city that God the Father will live in, what does it look like? Friend, that is described in amazing detail. We're going to look at all of that in verse by verse and in its entirety in December of 2023. So many amazing and wonderful and exciting things planned for 2023. Please figure out how to make this a part of what you do, a part of what you do as you pursue God, as you follow God, as you get in the Word, as you come into agreement with God for all the plans, the wonderful plans that he has for your life. I believe you are not listening by accident. You are listening on purpose because it's the will of God for you to grow in knowledge of him. And knowledge of God is revealed in his word. So today, we are now going to the book of Revelation so we can understand its secrets. I want to begin with sharing a metaphor. So you can think of the book of Revelation as a time travel machine. You can think of the book of Revelation as a time travel machine because John was told to come up to heaven in Revelation chapter 4. And when he got there, he saw some incredible things. And then he went beyond what was present. In other words, what was actually going on in real time in heaven as he was there. He moved beyond that, and the angel following the instruction of Jesus Christ showed John visions. What were these visions? These visions reflected realities, reports of future events. And he had already been instructed. He had already been instructed to share what will take place in the future. And then when he was called up to heaven, he was told, okay, now I will show you what must take place in the future. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, it says, come up here, and I will show you what must take place in the future. And then so in the next chapter, in chapter 4, John tells us what he saw in heaven. He saw the heavenly Sanhedrin in their outfits. And then he saw some interesting creatures that are not currently on the earth, and he describes those to us. And he saw thrones in heaven. So he describes these things that he saw in heaven in real time. And then, beginning with verse 1 of chapter 5, he tells us these visions created by God for us, pictures, pictures of our future, movies that reflect real events, documentaries, if you will. And so the first movie in the book of Revelation, the first documentary, the first nonfiction report is a statement of prophecy called the Seven Seals Prophecy. So I'm using language from the prophecy itself to give it a name, just so we know where we are. Seven Seals Prophecy, then the Seven Trumpets, then it continues. So today we're talking about the 666 Antichrist Prophecy, and there was a request a few weeks ago for basic study notes. And beginning with September of 2022 and moving forward for every talk, the basic study notes for the Statement of Prophecy appears on blogtalkradio.com. So if you would like to see the basic study notes that accompany this talk, I want to give you that web address so you can see it. It's live. You can go there now or you can go there later to look at the archive. So if you go to, and I'm going to pull it up in real time on my computer to make sure I'm giving you the correct address. So if you want to see the basic study notes, okay, so we're talking about the book of Revelation and the 666 Antichrist prophecy. One-page basic study notes appear at blogtalkradio.com/liveprophetic. And so you see a JPEG that shows the 666 Antichrist prophecy, and then the second JPEG, it rotates like a slideshow. So I have two slides in there, one slide giving our PGN text number and phone number, and it says the 666 Antichrist prophecy. And then if you click the arrow, or if you don't click anything, it after a couple of seconds, it goes to the second slide, and on that slide it says basic study notes for the 666 Antichrist prophecy. And then on there are 7 sections: the name of the statement of prophecy, the location in the book of Revelation, the specific numbers of the verses for the abstract, and then the full discussion or report. Then under letter E, a non-exhaustive list of key topics. So what are those key topics? The Antichrist, the false prophet, the great tribulation, the mark of the beast. Then under letter F, keywords, phrases, and numbers. So what are some of the keywords we'll hear and discuss today? 666, leopard, bear, lion, 10 horns, dragon, book of life, name of the beast, statue, power to buy or sell, right hand, forehead, and 42 months. Finally, I have two notes in here about the other prophecies that exist in this context. So there's a way that they kind of hang together. So take home point, if you wish to look at basic study notes, if you say this is a lot of information, I want to make sure I go back later to look at the 666 Antichrist prophecy, where did she say it was in the book of Revelation? So that's there for you in case you're driving, or maybe you're sitting down and listening and you're not writing anything right now. Those basic study notes are in there for you, along with this recording will be there in the archive, so you can go back to it at any time. I want to thank Bianca, one of our faithful listeners, for that wonderful request and suggestion. I believe that will be a blessing to you and to many. So thank you so much, Bianca, for the suggestion and request for basic study notes as we continue with this Book of Revelation analysis and discussion. Okay, we are in chapter 13 of the Book of Revelation. Chapter 13 is the chapter that includes the 666 Antichrist prophecy. So the Book of Revelation is a time machine. It takes us to different points in time. Now, it's important to know where in time we are when we look at it. Sometimes we are looking at a specific point in time in one verse, and then we move on in time, but then four or five or maybe six verses later, we come back to that same point in time, which can be very confusing unless and until you know this secret about the book of Revelation. Every statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation has a movie trailer in words followed by a full report, a full movie in words. So think about this. Before I went to see the movie Elvis, I saw on television a movie trailer. That movie trailer was approximately 60 seconds. I didn't time it, but it seemed like it was about 60 seconds. In contrast, the movie was more than 2 hours, a lot longer than 60 seconds. Yet, when I went to see the movie, I saw scenes from the movie trailer. However, I was not confused because I understand that the purpose of a movie trailer is to draw my attention to the key issues, the key conflicts, the key characters, the key people, places, and things in the movie in its entirety. So in the same way, when we're looking at a statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation, we need to know, where are we? Are we in its movie trailer in words, which in professional writing terms, that's called an abstract, ABSTRACT. Are we in a prophecy's movie trailer in words, the abstract, or are we in its full report? Or are we in the complete discussion part of it? Now, again, hear me on this, friend. Stay with me. This is very important because if you look at a movie trailer and then you look at a movie, you understand why there's repetition. And in between the scenes that you're seeing again, there's new information and you're not at all confused because you know what a movie trailer is. And so in that same way, with that same knowing, with study, we must know what the abstract is for a statement of prophecy and what its full report is. In other words, its full movie. That's the only way to avoid being confused, in my opinion, as you're looking at the book of Revelation. Okay, so this 666 Antichrist prophecy has five verses, which are its movie trailer and words. By my analysis, I perceive that the movie trailer goes from verse 1 of chapter 13 to verse 5. So we go from beginning to end, essentially. So it's the end wherever the author wants it to be, right? So, you know, we watch a movie trailer, but we don't have the final scene to the movie. Sometimes they leave it as a cliffhanger. For example, last month when we were talking about the millennial reign prophecy, for that movie trailer, they gave us a cliffhanger at the end saying, okay, yes, Satan is going to be confined after hand-to-hand combat with the angel who will overcome him, chain him up, and seal him in the abyss. Then it says some more in the movie trailer, and then at the end it says, oh, but at the end of the 1,000 years, he must be liberated for a short time. And it ends with that cliffhanger. It ends with that cliffhanger. So the movie trailer in words, it covers much of, typically most of, the full prophecy. But, of course, it's very short. It's very short, so we go from the abstract, the movie trailer in words, to the full report so we can have the details filled in. Let's hear, reading from the Amplified Classic Translation, the movie trailer in words for the 666 Antichrist prophecy. It says, As I stood on the sandy beach, I saw a beast coming up out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads. On his horns, he had 10 royal crowns, diadems, and blasphemous titles, names on his heads. And the beast that I saw resembled a leopard, but his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth was like that of a lion. And to him, the dragon gave his own might and power and his own throne and great dominion. And one of his heads seemed to have a deadly wound, but his death stroke was healed, and the whole earth went after the beast in amazement and admiration. They fell down and paid homage to the dragon because he had bestowed on the beast all his dominion and authority. They also praised and worshiped the beast, exclaiming, "Who is a match for the beast, and who can make war against him?" And the beast was given the power of speech, uttering boastful and blasphemous words. And he was given freedom to exert his authority and to exercise his will during 42 months, 3.5 years. End. That is the movie trailer in words, the abstract for the 666 Antichrist prophecy. So what did we learn there? At the very end, we learned, okay, all this that is going on is going to take place during 42 months, 3.5 years. Let's start there for a moment. 7 of the 12 statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation focus either exclusively or primarily on the Great Tribulation. That's the 3.5 years that reflect the wrath of Satan. The wrath of Satan is the Great Tribulation. And so we learn in the 666 Antichrist prophecy in verse 5, the beast was given the power of speech and that the authority is exercised during 42 months. Let's go back to the beginning. So John the Revelator, one of the 12 apostles, the one whom Jesus loved. You know, there were 12 apostles, but some were closer to Jesus. So Jesus had many disciples, right? He had many disciples, and from the disciples, he chose 12 special messengers, apostles. But of the 12, there were 3 in the inner circle. So there's the inner circle and then the inner circle. So who was on the inner circle? John. John was among the 3 in the inner circle. And so he was the person shown these visions. And so in these visions, he's standing on a sandy beach in this particular vision, and he sees a beast coming up out of the sea. The beast represents a nation, and this beast has 10 horns and 7 heads. So this is the same beast referred to in Daniel chapter 7, which I want to stay with the book of Revelation right now, but we will come back to Daniel because it's important to know that this same beast was shown to Daniel. And when Daniel asked, "Lord, explain to me what these symbols mean and what this all means," he was told, this is for the end of the age. These things are not for you to know at this time. So some of the things that Daniel asked the Lord to reveal to him, he didn't show him. He didn't show him. Let's go to Daniel in a moment. But let's stay for right now in the movie trailer and words in chapter 13. And in verse 2 it says, let's go back to verse 1. So the beast represents a nation, and it has horns, 10 royal crowns. So The royal crowns represent the crowns that a king or a leader wears. For example, in the United States of America, the country that I live in, the king is the leader is the president. Now, the president of the United States isn't a king, but he is the person or she is the person endowed with the most authority with respect to the government. In some countries, the king has the title of prime minister, or there are other titles. So this nation that is a beast, during the time of the Great Tribulation, it will be a conglomerate. It will be essentially a one-world government comprised of 10 leaders. In addition, they will have blasphemous titles and names, this one world government. Continuing in verse 2. Now, this part is very interesting. It says, the beast resembled a leopard, but its feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth was like that of a lion. In 2022, nations have animals that are essentially symbols for that nation. They are associated with that nation. They represent that nation in a way that is meaningful around the globe. And so when you think of America, when you think of the United States of America, what animal is associated with the United States? The eagle. And so in the 1,260 days prophecy, as well as in the book of Daniel, there's reference to the nation whose symbol at the time of the Great Tribulation. So the nation did not exist at the time when Daniel was shown the vision, when Daniel had the dreams. The nation did not exist at the time when John was caught up to heaven and was shown these visions. The nation only exists during the time of the Great Tribulation. So when men and women are on the earth at the time when the symbols for all of these nations are known and recognized, we know we are in the timing of the end of the age. So how does this relate to the 666 Antichrist prophecy today? And I'm going to be very brief with this because there's much to discuss. Today, the number one weapon used on the ground in war is something called the leopard. And there's a nation that creates this battle tank called the leopard. And in fact, an article was published in 2022 by National Interest, and it says, German Leopard 2 was a beast of a tank. Now, is that writer reading the Bible? I don't know. This is a secular publication. There are numerous versions of this tank. What is the take-home point? There's coming a time where we will have the Sixth Trumpet War, World War III. A third of mankind will perish. So it's beyond the plague, you know, the great plague hundreds of years ago. It's beyond COVID. It's a third of mankind. It's beyond the millions that perished in World War I, the 50-plus million that perished in World War II. We're talking about a third of mankind, and that's discussed in the Seven Trumpets prophecy. But right now, I want to share tank is created by a country, and you heard it in the title, that country is Germany. And as we move forward in time, and as World War III is fought and human life is lost on a scale that is unimaginable, people will begin to examine how did this happen and what countries were involved. And there will be more wars in many places and earthquakes in diverse places. And this leopard will be associated with the country that produces it and sells it to the nations of the world. The leopard is not the best on-ground weapon that exists singularly for the purposes of Germany. They sell it to the nations of the world. And so if you're a nation of the world and you want to fight and win wars, you buy this tank called the Leopard. I'm going to pause there. And I want to stay in verse 2 of the movie trailer in words, the bear. So it said the beast resembled a leopard, but its feet were like those of a bear. If you look at Time magazine and other magazines and newspapers that have talked about Russia in 2022 or Russia in 1982, it is often depicted as a bear. There's a famous cover, I believe it's on the Time cover of Time magazine, where it has Russia and three ribs in its mouth, and it's talking, and there's a bear holding three ribs in its mouth. My take-home point is, the symbol around the globe associated with Russia is the bear. Finally, the lion is noted. The lion is a symbol associated with Great Britain. And in the book of Daniel, they talk about the symbol and the eagle's wings were plucked from it. And so America comes from Great Britain, but we separate it, right? We're not going to go too deep into history. I want to make a take-home point. We're looking at the 666 Antichrist prophecy and trying to understand what these symbols mean. And what I am communicating is that the beast represents a nation. It will be a conglomerate of nations. How many specifically? 10. So a question is, well, is this the European Union? I don't know. It will be the European Union at that time or something like it. In other words, it will not be a singular nation. It will not be Germany alone. It will not be Russia alone. It will be a conglomerate of nations that essentially become a one world government dominating the financial affairs of the world. And we are quickly moving to that time where we see that the financial affairs of the world are not governed by what happens on the New York Stock Exchange, but by what happens in the European Union. Why? We're getting to that timing of the great crisis, the great tribulation. And so we don't need to look on in horror. We don't need to look on in fear. These prophecies are here so that we are prepared and we understand what is to come, culminating in the war to end all wars and the establishment of the government of Jesus Christ. Who's Jesus Christ? The Prince of Peace. The Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Okay. And so in verse 2 of the 666 Antichrist prophecy, three of the 10 nations are identified with symbols associated with them at the time of the Great Tribulation. So the leopard today is something that I have learned as a result of my studies about the book of Revelation at Jerusalem Bible Prophecy College with the Bible itself, with prayer. But over time, and we can see here, in 2021, they're talking about that tank, the leopard. And if you look on the internet there, in 2022, more articles have been published about this leopard. Let's move on to what's next in the movie trailer in words. It tells us, and to him, talking about the beast, the 10-nation conglomerate, the dragon gave his own might and power and his own throne and great dominion. That's really important for us to understand. So who is the dragon? In the book of Revelation, in chapter 20, specifically, Satan is identified as the dragon. In verse 2 of chapter 20, it says, "And he gripped and overpowered the dragon," talking about an angel, "that old serpent of primeval times who is the devil and Satan." So again, it says the dragon is the devil and Satan. So if you're looking at this and you say, wait a minute, you're talking about the bear is Russia, you're saying that the lion is Great Britain, then you must be saying that China is the dragon. No. The dragon is clearly identified as the devil and Satan in Revelation verse 2 of chapter 20. Okay, a point of clarification there. Now, what does Satan do? It says here in the movie trailer that he gives his own might and power and throne and great dominion to this nation. And so in the book of Luke, and also in other books in the New Testament and other Gospels, but today I was looking at the book of Luke. When Jesus went out for 40 days and he was tempted, Satan said to him, look at the thrones of the world. Look at what's happening on this earth, everything that's excellent on it. I'm in charge of this thing. I've been given dominion over this earth. And friends, he has been given dominion in this age, but in the age to come, at the second coming of Jesus Christ, the thrones of men, the governments that exist will be put down. And in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says, talking about Jesus Christ, "And the government shall be upon his shoulders." And then later it says, "And of the increase of his government and his peace, there shall be no end." And so we're coming to the time of a peaceful government under the leadership of the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. On the way to that are 42 months of the wrath of Satan. His dominion is coming to an end. It culminates in the Great Tribulation. So in this culmination, this 42 months, he finds a 10-nation government, and he gives to it his power and his dominion. He empowers it so that it becomes exceedingly great and powerful, but for a short known finite period of time, which is 42 months. Now, in verse 3 of the movie trailer, we're told that one of the heads has a deadly wound, but it's going to be healed. When this happens, the whole earth is going to go after this 10-nation conglomerate in amazement and admiration. It's going to look like they're down for the count. It's over with. And then somehow they will continue. In the movie trailer in words, it fast forwards in time, and it tells us that during the Great Tribulation, people will specifically, quote, fall down and pay homage to the dragon. Let me read the exact quote. In verse 4, it says, "They fell down and paid homage to the dragon because he had bestowed on the beast all his dominion and authority." So there's something about the way that this 10-nation conglomerate functions, what it says and what it does, that it leads people to the dragon, who is the devil, that serpent of primeval times, Satan, the devil. So as a result of this 10-nation conglomerate dominating financial and political affairs of the world during the time of the Great Tribulation, people will be pointed to Satan. And not only will they be pointed in that direction, it's going to cause people in great numbers to pay homage to Satan. So right now people are paying, we have three major religions that dominate the world: Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. During this time, people are going to be pointed in the direction of Satan. And when we talk about that purple and scarlet prophecy, we're going to share more about what does that mean, paying homage to the dragon. We're going to really look at the harlot church and the one world religion, the one world religion that comes out of following World War III. A third of mankind will perish, and people will say, we need no more war. We need no more war. How are we going to get no more war? We need one world government. That's the answer. That's the answer. If we were all under one government and we all worship one God and one religion, then there will be no more war. And you know what? If I hadn't read the Bible, that might make sense to me. I might think that these intellectuals and leaders are onto something. But friend, it is a counterfeit. The New World Order is Satan's counterfeit. The truth is God's new order, which comes on the new earth. God's new order, which begins with the second coming of Jesus Christ and the transition period of the millennial reign, and continues with the new earth, where God's new order is established for the eternities of the eternities. Now, coming back to the 666 Antichrist prophecy, this is what people are going to say. They're pointed in the direction of Satan, and they're going to pay homage to Satan. They're going to bow down to Satan. They're going to praise and worship this powerful nation. You know, back in the days of Rome, people fell so in love with Rome and what it represented and its power and its dominion on the earth, that they began to make it an idol, to worship it, to adore it. And in the same way, in our future, in a very short while, we're going to have a 10-nation, one-world government. So not every nation will be a part of these 10 nations, but this 10-nation government will dominate financial and political affairs of the world, and it will be so powerful that people will fall in love with it. People will be in awe of it. People will, the sheep will follow Satan. But Jesus says, my sheep know my voice, and another's they won't follow. And so it tells us in the movie trailer and words in verse 4 that they praise and worship this nation, and they say, who is a match for the beast and who can make war against him? So people make war against a nation, right? So Russia is making war against Ukraine right now. They're not making war against a specific person. They're making war against the nation. And so when people look at this 10-nation, one-world government, they will say, oh my gosh, this nation is so big. It's so dominant. It's so powerful. Who can make a war against it? Nobody can defeat this nation. But friends, somebody is going to defeat this nation. And that person is Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, who will come to fight the battle of Armageddon, the war to end all wars. When does it happen? It happens after the 42 months. So there's the wrath of Satan, which lasts 42 months, followed by the wrath of God, which culminates with the winning of the battle of Armageddon, described in the seven plagues prophecy, the purple and scarlet prophecy, the marriage supper prophecy. But staying where we are, we're in this great tribulation described in the 666 Antichrist prophecy. At the end of the movie trailer, we're told that the beast was given the power of speech. So who talks for the beast? So who talks for the United States? Joe Biden in 2022 talks for the United States. Who talks for Russia in 2022? Putin talks for Russia in 2022. Okay, and we can go on and on like that. And so the head of the 10-nation kingdom will be the Antichrist, who will put down three of those 10 heads. That's described elsewhere in the Bible. But for now, in verse 5, the last verse of the movie trailer in words, it says, "And the beast was given the power of speech." I believe that refers to the head of the 10-nation government, the Antichrist speaking. And what does he do? Uttering boastful and blasphemous words. Remember, he stands, we're told in the Bible, the Antichrist will stand in the rebuilt temple. Israel has been waiting since 70 A.D. That's nearly 2,000 years that they've been waiting to rebuild their temple. And when the confirmation of the covenant happens, when the governments of this world get together and craft a document that Israel will sign, that other leaders will sign, the Palestinians will sign it, and they will agree to share the Temple Mount so that Muslims can worship in their mosque on the Temple Mount, and Jews can worship in their rebuilt, the third temple, and the Antichrist is going to stand in that rebuilt temple and declare that he is God. And he will utter other blasphemous words. And what does it tell us? He was given freedom to exert his authority. So the Antichrist will have legitimate authority, authority given to him by Satan, who has dominion over the earth during this age. And he will exercise his will. How long? How long will Satan rule through the Antichrist, a person, a human being? How long will the Antichrist rule empowered by Satan? He will be the head of this 10-nation, one-world government. The Bible tells us it will be 42 months, 3.5 years. Okay, that's the end of the movie trailer in words for the 666 Antichrist prophecy. Now we're going to get into the full report. The full report includes verses 6 to 18. Now, in the same way that when we look at a movie trailer and then we go to see the movie, scenes from the movie trailer are in the movie. So we're going to see some of what we've seen already in the movie trailer again in the full report. So let's go, and by my analysis, if we look at this, these visions that John was shown, you can think of them as being in scenes. So it's 3.5 years. Imagine if we went back to 2019 and I said to you, we really want to know about your life. Can you tell us in 250 words the key events, conflicts, experiences that you've had in the last 3.5 years? But you only have 250 words to do it in. You could no doubt accomplish it, but it would be very hard. There would be experiences, events, happenings that you do not record simply due to the limitations of space, right? So in the same way, when a person creates a movie, a documentary, a nonfiction report, so these statements of prophecy are nonfiction reports of events. Because they go across periods of time, some events are not noted. So we need to know where we are at all times so that we don't get confused. Now, We're going into the full report. So now we're going back to, we're not at the end of the 3.5 years. Now we're going back to what the author wants to show us as the beginning of the 666 Antichrist prophecy. And it says, "And he opened his mouth to speak slanders against God, blaspheming his name and his abode, even vilifying those who live in heaven." That's the end of scene one, verse 6 of chapter 13. Now, this is incredible. This is incredible. Imagining the leader of the world, the leader of the world. So this is beyond Joe Biden, beyond what Donald Trump was, beyond Putin. I mean, Joe Biden is the head of the United States of America, Putin the head of Russia. But imagine if there were, because there will be 10 powerful nations, essentially a one world government, one with 10 kings, but one leading, the Antichrist. So what does he do? He opens his mouth to speak slanders against God, blaspheming his name and his abode, even vilifying those who live in heaven. So he's going to say, he's going to make false attributions, false accusations about those who have died in Christ and who live in heaven. So he might say something like, it's because of this person, some saint of God, that this happened. Or other false accusations. Now imagine a person so evil that not only does he vilify people who live in heaven, but he blasphemes God and he slanders God and he talks about his abode. Now what is God's abode? So Jesus Christ is the temple. And on the new earth, God is going to relocate from where he currently lives in heaven. He's going to relocate to the new Jerusalem, right here on earth, a perfected version of this earth. But going back to where we are during the time of the Great Tribulation to come, this Antichrist is going to slander God, blaspheme his name, blaspheme the abode of God, and he's going to vilify those who live in heaven. Who lives in heaven? The angels of God and the saints, those who have died in Christ, and of course God the Father and Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is living in heaven until the time of his return. So he's going to do all of those things. Let's go to the second scene so we know what the Antichrist is going to be saying in scene two. What else happens? So the Antichrist stands in tandem with the 10 nation one world government. And so what is this government going to be doing? Led by the Antichrist. In scene 2, verse 6 of chapter 13, it says, and he opened his, I'm sorry, we're in verse 7, it says, he was further permitted to wage war on God's holy people, the saints, and to overcome them. And power was given him to extend his authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation. Okay, now we're getting somewhere with respect to moving forward across significant periods of time. So it begins, this full report of the 666 Antichrist begins with telling us what is the Antichrist going to be saying. And then we go on in the second scene of the full report to find out what is he going to do. So what's he going to do? He's going to wage war on the church, the bride of Christ, those with the testimony of Jesus Christ, the saints, God's holy people. Not only is he going to wage war, but he's going to win. Now, does this mean that every saint is going to be in a war with the Antichrist and the one world government? No. but some will. And we're going to find out what God says about this here and elsewhere in the book of Revelation. So what is he going to be doing in tandem with the 10-nation, one-world government? He's going to wage war on Christians, and he's going to win. He will be permitted to win this war, win these wars, essentially a war against God's holy people. That's what it says. He was further permitted to wage war on God's holy people and to overcome them. And then second in this scene, scene number two, it tells us that it began with the Antichrist being the head of, leading in tandem, carrying out the will of Satan with this 10-nation, one-world government, but now they grow in power and authority. So it goes beyond just being, we're these strong 10 nations that have a lot of money, that have a lot of power, that have a lot of influence. Now our authority extends to every tribe and people and tongue and nation. Okay. That's the part where now we've moved forward in time. We've moved forward in time to from just being 10 nations that are very powerful to being 10 nations that have now become a one world government. So the authority extends to every tribe and people and tongue and nation. Now, does that mean that every nation is under the full authority of the Antichrist? The answer is no. We know that from other chapters in the Bible. But there's an impact there. And many nations will have significantly come under the authority of the Antichrist. But the power itself reaches, somehow it reaches every tribe and people and tongue and nation. But the Antichrist will not have full control over every nation. We know that because during, as the Antichrist prepares for the Battle of Armageddon, there's some nations that he doesn't have control over, for example, Jordan. Okay, let's continue. Now we're going into scene three, which is verse 8. By my analysis, I believe that there's 7 key scenes in the full report of the 666 Antichrist. If you are here with us, the basic study notes are on blogtalkradio.com/liveprophetic. So there's a slideshow where you can see the, where you see the link for this show, and on slide number 2 are the basic study notes for this if you want to look at the basic study notes now or later. So in scene 3, verse 8 of chapter 13, it says, "And all the inhabitants of the earth will fall down in adoration and pay him homage, everyone whose name has not been recorded in the book of life of the Lamb that was slain and sacrificed from the foundation of the world." Okay. Now, remember I said, unless you understand the geography of the book of Revelation, it will be confusing. So now in verse 8, we have what was also shared in the movie trailer. So we were already told in verse 4, they fell down and paid homage to the dragon. Because it goes on. And now in verse 8, we're in the full report and we hear the same thing. But we're not confused because now we understand we're in the full report. So we're going to see some, most, or all of what was in the movie trailer now that we're looking at the full movie. Okay, so we've gone from the abstract to the full report. The full report includes some and sometimes all of what was in the abstract. Okay, so what did we learn in this scene? There are those individuals, every person who is in Christ, every person who has followed God's plan for salvation. Those individuals, I believe that that is you. That is me. If it's not you, I hope that it will be you. Because every person whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life goes from mortality to immortality, goes from this present earth with Jesus Christ through the millennial reign and on to the perfected new earth forever and ever. But for those people during this finite period of time, the wrath of Satan, the great tribulation that lasts singularly for 3.5 years, for those people whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they're going to actually be so deceived, so seduced by the power of this one world government, the one world religion which will accompany the one world government, that they're going to adore and pay homage to this one world government and to the false god, Satan, the false god of the one world religion. Now let's keep going. It says, all the inhabitants of the earth will fall down in adoration and pay him homage, except everyone whose name has, except for those whose names were recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let me read this exactly because the language is a little bit confusing. It says, and all the inhabitants of the earth will fall down in adoration and pay him homage. Now, who are all the inhabitants? It describes those people, all the inhabitants, everyone whose name has not been recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. In other words, it's not talking about the saints, but everyone who's not a saint. So everyone who's not a saint, whose name is not recorded in the Book of Life of the Lamb, will fall down and pay homage to him. Now, what does this mean? What are we supposed to do? We learned in scene 2, verse 7 of chapter 13, that war will be waged against Christians during the 3.5 years. What is God's instruction to us about this? Now, today, some people say, this thing is happening, that thing is happening. We need to gather up our arms. We need to be prepared for war. And I don't have an opinion on any of that. I want to report what the Word of God says about what we need to do or not do during the time of the Great Tribulation, when war will be waged against Christians around the world. This is God's instruction. Scene number 4 in verses 9 and 10 of chapter 13. This is what God tells us to do during that time about the war. It says, if anyone is able to hear, let him listen. Whoever leads into captivity will himself go into captivity. If anyone slays with the sword must he be slain. Herein is the call for the patience and the faith and the fidelity of the saints, God's people. So what is he telling us here? He's telling the church, if you slay with the sword, then you'll die by the sword. And what I need you to do is to be patient with faith and fidelity. When Jesus Christ was betrayed by Judas, and one of the people with him took a sword and cut the ear as they were trying to take him away, and Jesus put the ear back on, and he said, no, this is what's supposed to happen right now. And so we don't try to prevent the Antichrist from ascending to power. We understand that there are no actions that can be taken to avoid the wrath of Satan, yet it is for a known finite period of time. It is limited to 42 months, 3.5 years, but the kingdom of God on this earth is for eternity. Not 3.5 years, not 30.5 years, not 300.5 years, not 3,000 years, eternity. And so we are called to patience, faith, and fidelity. All right, that's scene 4. Now we're going to go into scene 5. I said there's 7 scenes. I have here 6. Now we're going to go into scene 5. This is the part where we learn about the false prophet. There are 6 actions described in the 666 Antichrist prophecy about the false prophet. And then we'll hear scene six, the final scene in the 666 Antichrist prophecy. So now we're going to hear about the Antichrist and the false prophet. And by the way, what's the end of the Antichrist and the false prophecy? Right now we're in the Great Tribulation. As I mentioned earlier, 7 of the 12 statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation focus exclusively or primarily on the Great Tribulation. But what happens when the wrath of God comes? So after the wrath of Satan is the wrath of God, what happens at that Battle of Armageddon? What's the end of the false prophet? Well, it says in Revelation chapter 19, verse 20, in the marriage supper prophecy, and the beast, talking about the Antichrist, and the beast was seized and overpowered, and with him the false prophet, who in his presence had worked wonders and performed miracles. And then it goes on later in verse 20, it says, both of them, talking about the Antichrist and the false prophet, both of them were hurled alive into the fiery lake that burns and blazes with brimstone. So the end of this false prophet that we're about to read about is eternal damnation, the second death, the lake of fire. But during the Great Tribulation, he's going to do some amazing things. So now we're going to look at verses 11 to 17. Let's hear about the false prophet and the six things that he will do. First of all, who is he and what's he like? So in verse 11, we get who is he and what is he like. It says, then I saw another beast, talking about the false prophet, rising up out of the land itself. He had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke, roared like a dragon. So he's speaking the words of Satan, but he comes with a way of presenting himself, a presentation from the world, as if he's a lamb, like Jesus, but he's not. He's working in tandem with the Antichrist, and he will roar like a dragon because his father is Satan. Now, what does he do? Verses 12 to 17, what will the false prophet who works in tandem with the Antichrist do? In verse 12, it says, number one, he exerts all the power and right of control of the former beast. So he's in control like the 10-nation government. He's working simultaneously during the same timing and causes the earth and those who dwell upon it to exalt and deify the first beast. In other words, to pay homage to look up to, and to make a god out of a nation. We should not worship a nation. We can be proud of a nation. We can love our nation, but we should not make it a god. The United States of America is not my god. Jesus Christ is my god. If I lived in Mexico, Mexico would not be my God. If I lived in Russia, Russia would not be my God. Jesus Christ is the only true God. So what does this false prophet do? He causes the earth and those who dwell upon it to exalt and deify the 10-nation, one-world government whose deadly wound was healed, and to worship him. Remember, one of the nations is going to have a deadly wound, but somehow the nation is going to come back, and they're going to worship this 10-nation government. Okay, so first we learn that he has power, and he's able to actually control the 10-nation government. Second, we learn that he's going to cause people to exalt and make a god out of the 10-nation, one-world government. Third, in verse 13, it says he performs great signs, startling miracles, even making fire fall from the sky to the earth in men's sight. So he performs real miracles, but through the power of Satan. This is a counterfeit of the miracle God's going to perform. During the millennial reign, Jesus Christ, under his leadership, fire will fall from heaven and take out those who follow the devil at the end of the millennial reign. So this is a counterfeit miracle. That's the third thing that's noted here. Fourth, what does he do? Verse 14 of chapter 13. And because of the signs, miracles, which he's allowed to perform in the presence of the first beast, talking about the 10-nation, one-world government, he deceives those who inhabit the earth, commanding them to erect a statue, an image in the likeness of the beast, who was wounded by the small sword and still lived. There's something about this nation that's part of the one world government, that particular nation is very powerful, and they have a statue of the beast. So either the 10 nation government or that one nation that had the deadly wound healed. And then in verse 15, what's the fifth thing that we learn that the false prophet will do? And he is permitted also to impart the breath of life into the beast's image so that the statue of the beast could actually talk and cause to be put to death those who would not bow down and worship the image of the beast. Now, think about North Korea. Their leader, he wishes he had that. You know, crazy things are happening in North Korea. I imagine that, and I don't know this for a fact, but I imagine that if he could cause people to be put to death if they don't bow and worship at the time that they say they're supposed to bow down to his picture, that he would, at the time of the Great Tribulation, that will be permitted, that technology will exist. The sixth thing, what else does the false prophet do? In verse 16, it says he compels all alike, both small and great, both the rich and the poor, both free and slave, to be marked with an inscription stamped on their right hands or on their foreheads, so that no one will have power to buy or sell unless he bears the stamp, mark, inscription, that is the name of the beast or the number of his name. That's the mark of the beast. The false prophet leads people to receive the mark of the beast. Finally, in the last scene number six, well, who is the number of the beast? We're told in verse 18, here is room for discernment, a call for the wisdom of interpretation. Let anyone who has intelligence, penetration, and insight enough calculate the number of the beast, for it is a human number, the number of a certain man. His number is 666. Thank you for being with us, friend. We're going to continue our discussion about the 666 Antichrist prophecy on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Texas Time. Until next time, friend, take care.